Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. How would you view or classify the following people? What's the first word that comes to mind? What stereotypes are usually associated with them? Person A has a deep interest in school and gets A's on everything. They ace all of their tests, always have the highest score, and they have a deep interest in science fiction and comic books. What do you call a person like this? Studious? A geek? Maybe a nerd? Or smart? Person B. This person loves sports and works out every day. They hope to be a starter on their college team and have the goal of being an All-American at the season's end. What do you call a person like this typically? Athletic? A student athlete? Maybe a jock? Now the last person. You're sitting in your car and you see at the corner a person holding a sign and they're asking for help, but it ends with the words, "God bless you." What do you call this person? Person in need? A beggar? Maybe a scammer? We live in a world where we make decisions and judgments of people simply by how we view them on the outside. This morning, using our 2 Corinthians passage, we'll talk about how we view others, how this affected Paul at Corinth. Christ changes how we see and view others. It has been said that over the course of your life, that you will have interacted with up to 80,000 people. That's roughly 3 times the population of Roseville, or 1/3 the population of St. Paul. That's a lot of people that we come into contact with over the course of our lives. And often our first impressions and our first views of these people are often or by the car that they drive, or maybe even where they live. And once we see these things, we might begin to make our thoughts and judgments about them. But they sometimes have harmful and disastrous effects. For our judgment by these outside factors can affect how we might see, view, value, or even interact with other people. We don't often maybe look at the inside, but in a similar way. Hold on. But our world can sometimes view people in a similar way, don't they? They often judge and view us with the same factors by simply just looking at the outside, and that in turn can affect how we are valued, how we are viewed, and even how we are treated in the eyes of others. It can even maybe affect how we might even see ourselves. In high school, I made the senior superlative list. Do you remember those lists that your classmates would vote on that would say stuff like, who is the most athletic, or who is the most intelligent, or most likely to be successful, or maybe even president? Well, I made that list, and you know which one I got? I got least likely to appear on a senior superlative list. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm not very optimistic about it. In the eyes of the world and in the views of others, I really wasn't considered to be that much. But is that really how we should view people? Should we really just look at them on the outside? Paul ran into this problem at the city of Corinth. The Corinthian church had been invaded by super apostles. They were rival teachers with a different gospel message. These super apostles were considered great by worldly standards. They were fantastic speakers with great rhetorical skills. They could boast of letters of recommendation, and they could boast of great revelations and miracles. And as a result, they use these things to discredit Paul, his ministry, and his message just on the basis of external appearances. They tried to use their worldly superiority as proof of this. In 2 Corinthians 10, Paul says that they criticized him by saying, his letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak. and his speech is of no account. In today's terms, that might be, Paul, you send a bold email, but you just can't back up what you say in person. You're unimpressive, both physically and what you have to say with your speaking ability. And even in 11:6, Paul says, I'm not as good of a speaker as they are, but that doesn't make him inferior. By worldly standards, Paul and his gospel message really aren't that much or even impressive when compared to these super apostles. That's why throughout the book, he's constantly defending himself, his motive, and his ministry. In verse 12 of our text, he says, we're not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. Paul is not going to stoop down to the level of his opponents. He's not going to build himself up by worldly standards, but rather by what God has done in him and is doing in him through Jesus Christ. He boasts in the internal things. He boasts in his weaknesses. His opponents do not. So why does Paul boast in the internal things? Why doesn't he view people according to the world standards? What changed this for him? Like his opponents, he used to see and view others by worldly standards. He used to view Christ in a worldly way as a Jew. In verse 16, he says, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. From a worldly perspective, Paul used to be right. Jesus seemed to be a failure. He didn't save his people from the Romans. He didn't establish a great and grand Davidic kingdom. He was, in fact, killed by the worst way imaginable. Death on a cross, which would be viewed as a curse by Jews. And on top of it, he saves even the Gentiles. From an outside perspective, these things would be appalling to a Jew. But once Paul knew who Jesus really was and what he had done, everything had changed. In verses 14 to 17, he writes, for the love of Christ compels us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died, and that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Because Jesus had died for all people, he no longer viewed them by worldly standards, but by an internal one, who they are or aren't in Jesus. Jesus has died for all people, but sadly, not everyone receives the benefits of his death and resurrection. For those who are believers in Christ, Paul saw them as new creations, as people who are forgiven and no longer under sin's power and rule, but are being made into the likeness of Jesus. It's really living the baptismal life. And by looking at these things, Paul could expose those super apostles as fakes. He could show that their message was wrong, and he could expose their sinful and wrong motives. Paul looked at internal things. But this is a sharp contrast from how we, from how others in the world view others, isn't it? What if God just viewed us by our outward actions and appearances? He would see that our acts of sin and selfishness outweigh our acts of love and service. He would see us just in our fallen and sinful and condemned nature. But fortunately, God sees us through Christ. He sees us through our baptism, for we've been buried and raised with Christ and been clothed with his works and his righteousness. They've been given to us freely through faith. Because of Jesus, God sees us as forgiven, as pure, as clean, and holy, while he sees Christ as the one who has done those things. And he doesn't just view us as his children. He takes us in as his adopted and forgiven children. He makes us co-heirs with Christ and inheritors of heaven. God sees us through Jesus. He sees us as forgiven. And now, like Paul, once you know what Jesus has done for you and how you view others and even your life really changes, when we see others through Christ, we see that all people, regardless of their standing in the world, have great value and worth because Christ has died for them. If the God of the universe dying for you doesn't give you great value, doesn't give you great worth, I don't know what would or even could. We're immeasurably priceless. And our identity in Christ helps us to see ourselves in a different way. We're not defined by those past sins and those past failures, but rather who we are in Jesus, forgiven, loved, valued, and chosen. And our identity in Him even changes how we live. We don't just live for ourselves. We live for Him who for our sake died and was raised. The Christian life is a life lived in a joyful response to this. We serve Him by serving others. So how would you view or classify the following people now? Person A is a Christian who gets deep into their studies and gets A's on everything. Would he call this person redeemed? Person B loves sports and is a starter on their college team. What do you call this person? A new creation. Person C is a Christian who is down on his luck and is holding up a sign asking for help. What do you call this person? Saved. So how do you view me now? How do you view yourself? I think we know the answer to that. Forgiven in Christ. In His name, amen. Now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus. Amen.